I can remember that night very vividly. There, we were brought up really in the little church, Mr. Paisley's church hall, then on the Ravenhill Road, and reared in the Sunday school, and the children's meeting on a Friday night there, and that was the environment we were brought up in, and knew the catechism, and knew that we were sinners going to hell, knew that if you died without Jesus, you'd be damned. That's the way the teachers taught us, and that's what we took in. And we knew that we were a sinner, was sinners needing to be saved. My father and mother were Christians, so they would have brought us round to the church and encouraged us to do the right things. And so we made this profession when we were children. We would have been getting saved many times in the meetings. The whole gang of us would have been up at the front, and we would have been getting saved one Sunday night, and then on another Sunday night get saved again. But you know that there is only one birth, isn't that right? And but as children, I can assure you that it did us no harm. Amen. Keep coming to call upon the Lord. The Lord will sort that business out in your heart and give you assurance of salvation. But anyway, as children, we used to call upon the Lord on regular basis to get converted. But however, I remember confessing Christ even through school days and knowing what to do and what not to do, knowing that you would be accountable to your mother in particular if you stepped out of line. Remember very vividly one Sunday, it was a beautiful summer's day, and rather than go to Sunday school, the whole squad of us decided to go to the Arno Park and spend our time in the park, which was a couple of hundred yards by the Sunday school. So we did that, and we had it timed to, we thought, perfection as to when you would get out of Sunday school and come into the house on a regular time basis. And we were a couple of minutes early. And so I remember my mother interrogating me, were you at Sunday school and all that stuff? And she knew right well the mother's sixth sense at work. And so she found out that we had missed Sunday school. She went into the kitchen and got the shoe brush and proceeded to beat us with the shoe brush. And needless to say, we never missed Sunday school again. But that's the way it was. On many occasions, we were left standing at the corner. All our mates would have went to the Willowfield picture house called the Winky in those days. But however, you just stood there and you were left on your own, and that was it. But we got a little bigger, left Sunday school and went out into the world now. Not really converted at all. Not really saved, you say. So this pull into the world, this attraction then, and so we spent a wee bit of time there drinking and fighting and gambling and all the rest of it that goes on in the world, you say. Oh, done behind the mother and father's back. I used to practice going up the stairs on my hands and knees when they weren't in, to pick out the stairs that creaked the loudest so that we could sort of bypass those stairs. I remember in very late one night, probably morning time, and this idea of crawling up the stairs, and my father was at the top of the stairs, and the sweat broke on us that day, that night, all right. But however, we were able to deceive our parents, sadly to say. Bluffed them. Uh-huh. And in the through life, you find out there's a lot of people the same. Bluffing. The parents letting on I'm a Christian when I'm not a Christian. Well, that's what I did. Bluffing them. But however, I enjoyed coming round on a Sunday there to hear Dr. Paisley preaching, and remember sitting up in the gallery in the old church then, way back then, and sweating and the head down and those appeals and twisting and turning and wishing he would stop and wishing that I could get out of here because the conviction of the Lord was upon us. Okay? And so, unsaved person tonight, the family background might be perfect, dead on, you tonight, but you're not saved. So we're just sinners on the way to hell. You may have had the best of upbringing. Amen. You might be the best person in the estate. Hallelujah. But we're just sinners needing to be saved. And so we had learned from the Sunday school teachers. And so one night, Dr. Paisley had introduced a man, an Indian man, by the name of Jordan Kahn. Some of the older folk might remember Jordan C. Kahn. And he was, this is his first time in Ulster. This is his first meeting. Dr. Paisley had to go and take another meeting, left him there. And so he was giving his report about the work in India. And I did not understand one word he said. Couldn't tell you a word that he said. But that night, sitting in the gallery for the first time, big lad that we would have met there, Christian lad, he says, Noel, would you stay for the fellowship tonight? The youth fellowship was on a Sunday night at that time, maybe 15. So I said, all right, I'll go. That was the first time I was invited. And the first time we went to the fellowship. The lesson is, young people, invite your friend to the fellowship. That's the lesson, you say. You should be encouraging all the young folk to go to the fellowship meeting. That's a ministry in amongst us. You don't need to go to the mission field to work for the Lord. We could even work in the church. Amen. Can I share this with you? The lad who took over the work with after me, Gary Craig. Gary Craig came to the church and he had heard about a rally. It wasn't called rallies then. We had a meeting going every Sunday night after for young people. In the back of the church at that time, before the new building went up, the Ian Paisley Jubilee Complex, before that was built. And here's a young lad sitting near the front of the church, and I never seen him. I must confess that I never seen him, or I would have challenged him. So a woman in the church came over and says, Noel, there's a young lad up there, and nobody has went near him and invited him to come to the meetings, the after-church meeting. So I just said, where is I? And she said, there he's there. So thanks, May. Wound up and just says, tell him, my name's Noel Stevenson. Follow me. I have to take my wife home, and then we'll go to this meeting. And he just got up and he followed us. And he followed us for 12 years, nearly every night. Yes. Yeah. Little did I know that I had found my right arm. Little did we know that the boy who it was going to be the boy who would take over the meetings when we left for the Philippines. Isn't it marvelous the way the Lord works? Because a woman was sitting watching him and seeing nobody going. That's a ministry. Amen. Ah, I tell you, there's work to be done in the church. Amen. But however, that night we went into the fellowship and the big Billy Bomber Joe. You remember Billy Bomber? Amen. There's a fellow down there, and he knows me quite well, and another one on this side too, we've had meetings with. And here, he was leading a meeting and trying to encourage us all to sing. And for the first time, now, young person, I was 19 then, but for the first time, I felt that these young people had something that I hadn't got. Okay? And we sat through hellfire meetings for all most of our life. The paint would have been blistered off the walls. You remember the old days, don't you? The old-fashioned preaching. Well, it was like that. And But here was for the first time, I knew that there was something missing here. And so it was just a normal fellowship meeting, and I asked Big Billy Plumbers, could I see the minister? And he takes me up. And if you know Billy, he's rather dry sort of a creature, you know. He walked me up to the Beardsbridge Road, and we went in, and Mrs. Paisley put us into the room, and Dr. Paisley be in a minute. He was always coming in a minute. It took him another hour to come. It was near midnight. But she wanted to keep me there. Isn't it marvelous? You got to know how to throw out the net. The fish could have got out of the net, you see. So she was keeping popping her head a bit in a minute. But however, he did come. And that night, we talked with each other. You know, I can remember this so vividly. You know that you're a sinner. And he took two cups, and he put one cup on top of the other cup. And he said, here's Jesus, and here's your sins. And Jesus has taken your sins, your punishment, at Calvary. I told him, Dr. Payne, I heard all this before. You see, I felt nothing. And here's one thing that I did say to him. Mr. Paisley, I don't feel like crying. Because I had heard him talking about when he had come home from missions, men standing up as he preached, weeping, crying out to get saved. We had heard that when he was having these missions round the country. And he says, well, I don't feel like crying. Well, he says, Noel, the Bible doesn't say, whosoever feels like crying shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. So, Father, Mother, in the meeting tonight, you might be saying, I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel. Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're always looking for something extraordinary. I know about conviction. I believe I was being convicted sitting in the fellowship meeting. Yeah, but I didn't feel like crying. And you may not feel like crying either. But call. It's not crying. It's calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Not the church. Don't be calling on the church. You'll be lost if you're calling on the church. Your name might be down there for 40 years or 50 years. My two uncles, they went to Ballygown Presbyterian Church. And they sat there under the minister for years. And they sang in the choir. And the both of them were Sunday school teachers. One of them took the Bible class, a big Bible class. But they weren't saved. And the minister made a mistake. He invited W.P. Nicholson to come to preach. And when he preached, the two of them knew then they were both sinners. And he preached on whited sepulchres. Yeah, full of dead men's bones. Yeah. So here was two very religious men. And up to their necks involved in the church and paying into their church and all. Paid a Presbyterian church. Wouldn't matter what type of a church. There they were thinking that they were ready for heaven. The minister wasn't even ready for heaven. Never told them about hell and warning them about getting saved. No. So there they were. But after one night of W.P. Nicholson's preaching, the both of them got saved. Amen. Yeah. And so, can I tell you this? Well, the minute he started to tell the young people, don't you sit at the Lord's table till you get saved. Oh, that rocked the boat. I tell you, here's these big fellas and all coming now. And the old minister putting his arm round them and saying, you haven't been sitting at the Lord's, this is true, at the table. No, our Sunday school teacher tells us we'll be damned if you sit at the Lord's table and not see him. Oh, I tell you, we need to get back to that type of preaching again. But however, that night, I'm talking to Mr. Paisley, and then he says, Noel, Jesus loves you. And both of us got down on our knees now, on our knees. So I looked at him, and I said, "Do you know, sir, that I'm bad?" He says, "I know you're bad. Jesus died for bad people." Then I said, I wanted to get out. And so I thought I'd be religious, and I said to him, "This is true." I said to him, "Would you pray for me?" He says, "Noel, do you not think it's time you prayed for yourself?" He's a good fisher. Need to be a fisher. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So you fishermen in the meeting tonight, you know right well how to bait a hook and sling a worm out. You wouldn't be racking and smashing about, would you? You'd scare everything in the neighborhood. Sure you would know that. Well, you have to know how to win souls for Jesus. And so we know that our moderator, he knows how to win a soul or two for the Lord, doesn't he? And so he had me. "Do you not know, Noel, it's in that time you prayed for yourself? Father, what about praying for your own self, crying on the Lord to save your soul?" Mother, what about that? Maybe your daughter's here and she prays for you to get saved. Wee girl out in the Philippines. I tell you, I heard it, I cried. And here's wee, you call her Nymph. This wee girl, you must remember that she's baptized into the Catholic Church. You must remember that she has to buy, the priest, he stuck up a wee chapel 50 metres away from his now. Amen. He's doing more work than ever he did. But anyway, and they walk by it every day, and they walk by it every Sunday to come to church. And every Sunday she was poking away at her mommy. "Mommy, will you come? Will you come? Will you come?" And then one day her mommy did come, and she got saved. Amen. That's the work of the children, inviting their parents to come. It might be the same tonight, but however, I remember getting down and then saying, "I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say." He's getting kind of angry now. He says, "Will you just ask Jesus to save you?" And then Sunday school teachers, I want to encourage you, children's workers. Into the head came a little chorus we sang many times in our children's meeting. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm not just flashed into my mind and I blurted it out. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. And he did. He did. Was there any sort of feelings? No. Was there any sort of spinal stuff? No. It was just plain asking Jesus to come into your heart. He shook my hand and away we went. I'm the first fella going down the road. In the, my mate lived in Radnor Street. And I said, the big fella, I must tell my mate I got saved. Yeah. So he was in his bed. And the mother brought him down. And Robert, he's standing there and he's very embarrassed, you say, about all that. I used to preach to him as we got drunk. Could you imagine it? Telling him how to become a Christian, getting drunk. Yeah, but it was well poked into us, hallelujah, amen. And we knew how to get saved, but we weren't saved. But that night, there's a difference. I said, "Robert, I've got saved tonight." This is what we told him. "Robert, the drinking goes. The dancing goes. The football goes. It all goes tonight, Robert." And he's standing there and he's saying, I thought something like this would happen to you. And away, well, we got him down to the meetings and we tried to get him converted. He spent 12 years in prison and I came to the pulpit to preach the word of the Lord. Amen. You see how people make their decisions? Okay. And so, brethren and sisters, tonight that would really be the method of our conversion. We got saved. Now, what were we going to do? Well, we went round to the Friday night prayer meeting, the all-night prayer meeting, as it was called. It did go all night too. It would have went to 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, it was daylight, and then you went to work. And those were days in cloud 9, hallelujah. Those were days when we learned about the Lord, and that meeting packed the men. He used to hammer the chairs and all, and beat away and shout and everything. But that was the atmosphere and the fervor of the hearts. Amen. And God moved, and as some of you would know, and the place packed out with people, and people getting saved. Yes. But then we found out that there was work to do. I remember, young Christian, you listen to this. This was in this prayer meeting, and it was again Big Billy Bummer. I must say that he influenced our lives in a big way for the Lord. He's a praying man. And so he says, Noel, what about coming to us? Could you take a Sunday school class? No. I can't teach. I suppose you are saying you can't preach either. Learn someday, Noel. But no, I can't do it. How do you know you can't do it? Have you tried? No, I just know. And this went on to daylight. He just held us in the corner there. And it was after the prayer meeting was over, and he just kept arguing and arguing, and I wanted to get home to my bed, but he just kept plugging away until I said, right, William, I'll give it a shot. Okay. And that was our introduction. I remember the class on the left-hand side, or the right-hand side of the pulpit, and 12 kids around us, and that's where we took off, and we got introduced to the work of the Lord. You say you don't know what to do. Well, I remember going, right, just wandering around. Yeah, and we never knew anybody. We were just saved, and this was just dropped in now and among strangers in the church. So I thought, I'll go around on a Friday night, and I'll help in the children's meeting. So you know, look for the worst row, not the best row, the worst row. And if you would know the Ravenhill Road and all what's around it, you would know it's hard. It wouldn't be too hard to pick a bad row. But the idea was in the mind that we'll try and tame the row for the boy to preach the word of the Lord to them. So you fill your pocket with sweets. I had that much wit to do that. So I let them see them and bribed them, you see, and said, you know, this is for you. You said good. And when Morris, yeah, or Mr. Gunning, Mr. Bob Gunning, he would have said, Uncle Noel's row's the best row of the night. I felt really proud the job was done. Yes, so that's how we started. Young person, I'm telling you, if you want to start working for the Lord, don't get the fanciful idea that you're going to be a mighty missionary or something like that. Start here in the church among the children. Amen. It's an open door for you. Did you ever think about bringing somebody in the car? With the child maybe that's living next door to you? Did you ever think that they need to be saved? Oh, that's a ministry. Oh, you should be bringing them in so that the teachers can teach them the word of the Lord. This is the vision, you see. And so the work, we got involved deeper and deeper in the work of the Lord. I remember the buses and all coming and asking permission to drive the buses and all. These were in days when there was trouble. I can remember one Friday night, and it was a sort of a ministry that you brought your congregation in, and then you preached them, and then you had to take them home, and it was like on your own, you know what I mean? And but however, that's the way it was. But this night, the man waiting outside, and he sees a hold all bag under the front wheel of the bus. The coach, he was a reserve policeman, and you know, he says, Noel, there's a bag, there's wires hanging out of it. And there was wires hanging out of it. He'd say, well, dummy bomb, not a minute. It was the loyalists, I might say, like that. You say, creating a bit of a disturbance around East Belfast that Friday night to make things go haywire. So the idea was, put this under the bus, the church bus. So you would know that we needed to get the children home. You would understand that. And this is a big problem now. So the army were flying past, and we waved them down. Said, oh, it's all, you know, block the road and all this crack. Would you drive it away, mate? An Englishman, are you going to drive it away for us? No, no, no. You drive it yourself. We're quite, it's okay. Well, it's all right. I'll tell you what, make sure the back wheel doesn't go over it. And he's operating well, road hunkered down, and, you know, waving you on like this here to make the back wheels miss this bag. It was a dummy. But you didn't know it was a dummy at the time. But however, we were able to get the kids home, going down, we had children out of Hollywood at that time. And the Land Rovers flying by you and then blocking the road and all this stuff and hands up and them all piling on the bus. Where's this bus going to? So we're taking the kids home. Says we've got a report that it's going to Bangor with bombs on it, Paisley's bus. And the kids were terrified and you're scratching your... This is all part of the work of the Lord. Huh? I would tell you, but however the Lord preserved us in those days of trouble, amen, and the work went on. I tell you, look, then I remember the night Dr. Paisley thumped the pulpit and shouted, this church needs a full-time worker, and my heart flipped. It just flipped. I thought I would go to Canada and make money, you see, and have a big ranch out there. And we were applying for work then. There was a lot of emigration at that time as well. And so I thought, right, I'll become a prison officer. Teachers, listen to this one. I'll get to be a prison officer first. For every night in a telegraph, there was, prison officers. And I knew that if you became a prison officer, you sold your body and soul to them, and you worked a 12-hour shift or maybe a 24-hour shift, but you were there, and your Sunday was up the chute, and you were there. That's the type of work it is, isn't it? Knew that, but went forward for it. So here's two men and a woman interviewing, half-hour interview. Never forget this one. Just telling you to encourage the teachers and children's workers tonight. So they are interviewing, they want to know your hobbies and all, and you're busy preaching away at them and taking meetings here and taking meetings there and doing open-air meetings. And they must have thought this boy's a fanatic, you say. So he says, do you know Mr. Stevenson, we would be stopping you in this work? That was not a job. That was a bar darrow. You know what I told him? Lord's not tied to me. Lord can raise someone else up. So he can too. He's not tied to none of us. He's not even tied down the Ulster either. No. The Lord can let Ulster go, you know. If it keeps kicking against the Holy Ghost can recede from a country. Can't I? Well, we have no sovereign right over the Holy Ghost. Sure we haven't. But however, here's me telling these three people that the Lord isn't tied to me, doesn't really need me. He can raise someone else to do this work. Now, teacher, children's worker, listen. This other man, he says, Mr. Stevenson, do you know what I believe? You would be better on the outside than on the inside. For you might stop some of these boys coming into us. You ever think of that, teacher? They're not all going to get saved. Our brother Trevor has been working, and some of you folk too, he's been working with children for donkey's years now, isn't that right? Now you know Sunday school teacher teaching your class that to grow up, to leave the church, some of them never get saved. But to encourage you tonight, let's aim at producing good citizens for Coleraine anyway. Amen. Let's put enough of the Word of God into them that they will be at least God-fearing. Take away all the teachers out of the land, Sunday school teachers, and you're going to have more locks in your doors and more windows blockaded up and all the rest of it and more horns and stuff in your cars. Thank God for godly Sunday school teachers. Amen. You're worth your weight in gold. Amen. Just want to encourage you. But however, that night he hits the pulpit, this church needs a full-time children's worker. And I knew it's me. So we hesitated going forward for fear and all the rest of it. And like this, you say, this is a big decision now. You're married, you've four children. This is big stuff now. And there's an opening here. And we're always going to speak to him. But however, I said, right, I'm going to speak to him this Wednesday night. This was after 6 weeks. What did he preach on? Preached on Moses standing still at the sea and God saying, go forward. Does God speak to you out of the Bible? Of course he does. Don't look for some other word. Look to the Bible. It's his spoken word. Yeah. And that night, I just put down in my Bible, tonight I go forward. And we did. Amen. And that was the door open. That was before the Whitfield College opened. That was started way back then. And so we entered into the work of the Lord. You ask me, how do you come to be in the Philippines? We went out to Africa, to Alan Dunlap. For the first time, we seen how the other half lived. It's something, when you're standing there seeing somebody rubbing their stomach like this here, hungry. Now you can either switch off and say, it's none of my business, or else you can say, well, like the woman. You remember the woman of the Alarbath? This was another word that the Lord spoke to us. Remember, she had this costly bath of ointment, and she's going to break it over the feet of Jesus. And there was complaints. Some of the men didn't like that idea. What did Jesus say? Let her alone. That's what Jesus said. Let her alone. She hath done what she could. That's the secret. We're not all going to be preachers. Amen. But I ask you tonight, are you doing what you can? Let her alone. She hath done what she could. I couldn't get away from that. I felt that at least I had something to offer, and it was going to be an evangelistic offer. That's what it was going to be. Father, mother, the most serious thing in your life is the soul. That's the most serious thing. It's not if I'm in good health or bad health. No, it's if I'm saved. The most precious thing you have, Father, is your soul. It's going to live forever. It's going to last forever. And your body will meet up with your soul too. Now, this is not something mysterious. No, body and soul will come together. And if you die and go to hell, you will not have a good time with the mates. Some boys think that we'll have a real good time. No. No, I have a sneaking feeling that you will sense and feel in your own soul that you're the only one in hell. Oh, that'll make it worse. Do you imagine that you're going to meet your mates in hell? Huh? Talk about it. I don't think so. I think you will be damned there on your own. The sense of loneliness will be upon your soul. Why do you say, how do you know that? What about this darkness? Well, you remember that those plagues that God sent down in Egypt? What about the plague when he sent darkness to Egypt? They were that afraid, they wouldn't even get off their couch. They were terrified of the darkness. Well, do you not see a man trying to strike a match to produce light? Well, if the place went dark, as it would do in the Philippines at times too, the electric blows up on you and then you have no fans in your hut, then all right. But you go for a candle, don't you? That's light a candle. But there was no light that could penetrate this darkness. Was God letting us see a wee bit just what hell would be like? The darkness, the torment. Huh? Oh, we get the pictures of it, and it's not a nice subject, but it's there. We would rather speak on heaven, the beautiful home called heaven, but there's another place called hell. And so, well, we entered into that ministry. We went out. We seen folk who never heard the word of the Lord in their lives. We then went out to the Philippines. And over there, when you're standing there and people are saying, will you come back again? Will you come back again? Teach us the word of God. It has to affect you. That's what they were doing. People who had never heard about God's salvation. And so we used to cry at night time, and when everybody else was asleep, we're crying. That wee verse we shared with you this morning, we couldn't get away from it. Other sheep I have, they're not of this fold. I must bring them. So I felt, well, Lord, if I can be used to try and bring other sheep, I want to be used. And that's the way it went in the Philippines. And then we were permitted to go for 3 months, and then we were given a year out. And it only got us deeper involved there. And we got more appetite for that work. And now there's a work going, hallelujah. You pray for that work, please. On a Monday, there's a little outreach there across the way. The school, the little preschool, will be started in June, probably the first week of June. It'll be going on to near midday. And then afterwards, we'll go out into the area and across the way from the prison house and have a little children's meeting there. Addie Meehan, Pastor Tony's wife, she will try and have a Bible study. And you know who we run up against? Christians. Mormons. Isn't that interesting? The Mormons. The American Mormons have got there. Peddling a false doctrine. Peddling a cultish religion which will take people to hell. But they're there doing it. One of the hymns that haunted me, and God used it to speak to them. I know what it was. We're singing in the prayer meeting, send the light, send the light. And then here, I was hearing a voice saying, why doesn't someone take it? All right, but never think of that one. Young person, we're asking God to send the light. Well, he needs you to take the light. That's what he needs. What's the use of singing to God, send it? He's doing his best to send it. He needs laborers to take it. Hallelujah. Do you ever think of that? Why do we always pass it on to God? Why not say, I'll take it, Lord. Send it. I'm going to go with it. Amen. Yeah. Oh, young person, look, I tell you, the Lord has spoken, go ye into all the world. Yeah. Starting cool rain, of course, I might say. Oh, we have a little outreach then on the Monday. On Tuesday, it would be sort of a relaxing day and a wash day. And then on Wednesday, clean the whole place up, get it washed out, brushed out. There's a lot of dust in the place, and we're preparing notes with a laptop. For a projection, PowerPoint projection. That's about all I know about it. Is the name of it. We're still trying to learn. Just like Trevor, get the screen full of everything. Hit the button and it all disappears on you, and you have to start all over again. That tests your patience. But that's what we have to do, because the people, they understand English. Speak it slow. They understand, if you want to call it American English. So I have to speak slow, project it onto the wall that can read it. We actually use the children, the flashcards, the acetate sheets on the overhead projector on a Sunday morning. I use those stories that we've preached for years to the children in our meetings. Now we take them out to the Philippines and we project them on the wall. And we'll have us our morning service, and everybody's all happy about this. Amen. And so they understand. Yeah. They're learning English, and that's a great blessing. At the prayer meeting, you might get 20 people, 25 people. You'll have young people coming in, some of them like this. See these two lads here, older ones, coming into the prayer meeting. On Thursday, there's a mother's meeting now. 25, 30 mothers come in every Thursday, 1 o'clock, pray for the mothers, and they'll have a 2-hour session there. The young children will be taken upstairs. They'll have a wee meeting with the kids just to give the mothers that sort of break there, pray for them, and then everybody's fed after the meeting. Amen. We buy cups, we buy plates, or or dishes and things, 10 pence each, 10p. And we give them out as prizes to those who learn their memory verses. And these women standing up saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then have Bible drill. And if you win it, you'll win yourself a plate. Something that they can use at home. Amen. We would buy sacks of rice in and then give out 2 kilos of rice to all the people there. Yeah. I'm greatly struck, brethren and sisters, Acts chapter 2. You read Acts chapter 2. This is a famous chapter. The Holy Ghost comes. Acts chapter 2. What happens? Peter preaches, thousands of souls are saved. And what happens? I'm baptized. What happens? All of a sudden, the people realize that there's poor people now. God looks after the poor. Always down in Israel, God's eye was upon the poor people in Israel. So what did they do? Did they not bring their offerings and stuff that they sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto the poor? Church, look after the elder folk in the church. That's where it starts. Look after them. Some old dear, some elderly saint here in Coleraine may be locked away now. Not able to come to church now. Maybe in financial difficulty. Church, find out who they are and help them. Amen. That's a ministry. That's what happened in the New Testament church in the book of the Acts. And you'll find it in Acts 4. And you'll find it in the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul was collecting money for to take it back down to Jerusalem. Why? Because he knew that there were poor people down there. And the church was wanting to help the poor. Hallelujah. So we give out rice. Amen. I love rice. Just like the potatoes, not right, brother. Amen. As many potatoes as you eat, they eat rice in the morning, in the afternoon, and they must get it at night time as well to keep them going. Amen. But brethren and sisters, the Lord is blessing there. Friday would be a visitation and maybe go to the market and buy stuff, food in for the weekend. Saturday morning, start at 7:30. There'll be young people knocking at your door, and we take them to Forest Park there. It's a beautiful area. They're working on it, getting it all made up. They've put cages in, crocodiles and monkeys in. It's like a mini zoo, you'd say. And the kids like going there. Then we have a wee Bible. So hundreds of people, thousands of people would go in there early morning because it's not so hot there. 1, 2, 3, and then you're burning heat just midday. And so we have a wee Bible talk with them, have fun and games with them, and then we go to McDonald's, and that's where you get your French fries and your bop and your ice cream after it. These kids would never get it. We took them into the Mega Mall, Trevor. They'd never been on an escalator. Imagine, and they were howling onto each other, terrified to step onto these moving stairs. 11, 12, 13-year-olds. How much we take for granted. And these kids are living on the outskirts of a city. It's not like as if they're away in a jungle. No. And yet, they've never been on. Amen. Well, we love them in the Lord and are want to try and win them for Jesus. Hallelujah. And there's many of them that's got saved. Praise the Lord. And their mothers and fathers have got saved. I tell you, when you go out round there, Trevor will testify to it and have a wee meeting, and men and women standing, and they're watching, eyes fixed on you and riveted, and they're hearing this for the first time. Oh, there's something about giving the gospel out to a man who's never heard it before. Something about it. And they need it, and they deserve it. And they're looking for someone to sacrifice their lives for them to win them to Christ. Amen. Why should we do it? Jesus done it for us. Enough said. Our Lord Jesus, He is the commander. He is the leader. He did it. So follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Yeah, And so this is the idea. On Sunday, on Saturday, that crowd would get them home at about 11:30. You try and get an hour's sleep. They'll be back. More of them will be back. And the workers will try and make them a choir. At 3:30, we'll move out into the area, have little meetings, tract distribution, inviting people on Sunday to the church. Saturday is a busy day. And then at night time, pitch black it is, and the mosquitoes are bouncing off your head. And the way you do, you keep moving. That's the secret. Keep moving. Wave your arms like this here. You know, we have got royal blood. That's what they say. Royal blood. I say, we have got sinful blood. Just like you. But they say you've got royal blood. And you would have a sneaking feeling that the mosquitoes know about your blood. If they ate more of you than them. Amen. But anyway, that's part of the drawbacks of it all, you say. And just keep moving anyway. And you could even move out and stay in the building for a couple of weeks. Why not? We can't guarantee a good smell. There's a monsoon on at the moment. I got a text message. We're in the middle of a monsoon. And that means the place is all... It's full of old mud now and water and just not too nice at all. But we love them. We don't see the mess. We see the people. Hallelujah. Souls. And Jesus loves them. Amen. And these demons there that need to be dug out of those areas and won for Christ. Hallelujah. So we can link in and pray for each other and help each other. There's a wee verse here. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3, please. Old Testament, 2 Samuel here. 2 Samuel chapter 3, interesting story about two men in charge of two armies. Abner, general, main man in the army. Abner is with King Saul. He's in charge of King Saul's army. And then we have Joab. Joab is a ruthless butcher. You should follow Joab. Joab is very handy with a dagger, and he knows where your fifth rib is. Don't let him kiss you, for you might die. He's a ruthless man, Joab. That's why David, when he was going to die, he says to Solomon, You sort Joab out. You read it? That was his parting words to young Solomon. You'll need to fix him. Fix Joab. Because Joab would fix Solomon. Because he's politically minded. And he's looking for power. Power man. Even with King David. He's a hungry man for power. But here anyway, he's a top general in David's army. He's too bad. And so Abner one day, Joab's younger brother gets in at the back of Abner. He's going to try and kill Abner. It would be a good scalp to take now. We have a good boast here if I can get Abner, the general of Saul's army. And so Abner, he's all right, a fighting man himself, Abner, and he says to this young man, just stay back. The day of battle's over now, and let's forget about this. But the young man smells, I'll kill him. I'll close in on him. I'm quicker, and I'll get him. So he did that, and Abner killed him. He died. Now, Joab, he says in here, I'll get you now for this. Becomes the avenger of blood. In the Bible, you will read about the avenger of... Have you ever read about the avenger of blood? No? Do you know that God told them to set up 6 cities in Israel? Do you know that they were called cities of refuge? And they are 3 on this side, 3 on that side. Do you know that these cities, the entrance into the cities, never, they always had to be cleared and it had to be a highway into the city? For if you killed a man accidental, you must flee to the city of refuge. And the way must be kept prepared so that you can get into the city of refuge. Who thought that out? God. It was the Lord that man wouldn't have sorted that out. But God told Israel, that's what you do. This city of refuge was a picture of Jesus. Hallelujah. It was a place to flee to. Sinner, there's only one place to flee to, and that is into the arms of Christ when the avenger of death is coming to you. So there was an avenger. I could avenge my brother's death. Yeah. But you could equally run to the city of refuge and stay there in the city of refuge till a certain time and then be released. That's in the Old Testament times. Marvelous story. So here was Abner, and here was Joab, whose younger brother had been slain, and it's Abner has done it, and Joab, he says, I'll kill him, I'll get him. That's what he's thinking in here. Well, David's men are more powerful. You know that story, don't you? And the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker, and David waxed stronger. And then Abner decides, I'm going to see David. Remember that he's the anointed one, King David. And so Abner comes in to see David, accept David, accept him as the king of Israel. There, do you see the political deal that would be going on there? And David sends Abner away in peace. That's the story. Sent them away in peace. Now in comes Joab into the palace. He's heard that Abner has been even at the palace, the enemy. And so he's angry at this idea. And David, he's here. He's been seeing how what we have, and he's been taking note of her strength. And you didn't get him. You let him go. You sent him away in peace. He was an enemy. Sinner, tonight the Bible says that you and me were enemies of God. Don't be thinking that you love God outside in a sinful state. We don't love God. No. You used to stand with a big man in the open air when I was first saved. And this is what you, big Billy Swain. And this, he had always made this saying. Sinner, this was out in the streets. Sinner, if it was possible for sinners to kill God, they would kill God. I used to think, what a statement that was. And he's dead, right? Nah, do you think we would love God in our sinful? I'm telling you, we would be like David or the devil. We would do our best to push God off his throne. Yeah. And so here's this man, and Joab is angry. Look at chapter 3. What happens here? Well, verse 26, when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. Take note of that now. David knew it not. Joab is working for himself now. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, city of refuge, Joab took him aside. Joab, do you see it? Do you see Abner, general in the army? Here's the city of refuge, but here's the avenger of death. Waiting, calling him back. This is what happened. And he took him aside in the gate, notice, the gate of the city of refuge. I tell you, sinner, all he needs to do is shut his ears to Joab's request to draw back. All he needs to do is to step forward. He's in through the city of gate, in the city of refuge. And Joab would never dare to step through those gates to strike him. He would never dare do it. because he will be safe in the city of refuge. Do you see the story? And so here's Abner, and he's about to go through this gate, and he hears a voice, and the voice is calling him back. Sinner, that's exactly what the devil does. God is calling you through the gates of salvation. If you read Mr. Pilgrim, he is told to go through the gate of decision. Mr. Pilgrim, if you go through that gate, you will enter into the city of refuge. Old John Bunyan had got it dead on. Amen. And do you see Pilgrim as he's going there and his burden is getting heavier on his back? It's the burden of sin. Do you feel, sinner, that you are a sinner? Do you feel it? And here's this burden getting heavier, and he goes to the gate, but there's fiery darts being shot at Mr. Pilgrim. Fiery darts. The Bible talks about fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah. And the old devil will shoot fiery darts into your mind, and you're wanting to get saved, and you would love to be a Christian. And the devil says, what about your wife? She's not saved. What about your husband? Have you thought of him? And he makes your heart begin to tremble. The night we picked Val, he's drunk, lying and sleeping there, midnight after 1 o'clock in the morning nearly. And what was his concern there? My wife would never go to church. Val, don't you worry about your wife. You come to church. Oh, my wife. And I just kept saying my wife would never. He was fully drunk. But then Val, look, I'll pick you up on Sunday and bring you to church. And he came. And he came the following Sunday. And he walked right up to the front and he asked Jesus into his heart. Hey, and he got saved. Is that right, Trevor? Amen. He's not drinking now. Amen. And what's more, when you look at his wife in the church, she's busy taking notes down. She got saved too. Hallelujah. And if you wanted a rice dinner, she'll make you a rice dinner in the church when you come over. She'll be one of the cooks. Amen. She's getting involved in the work. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you that there'll be these fiery darts as you're thinking about getting saved. The devil will bring everything into your mind why you should not be saved. That's the work of the devil. Jesus, he's saying, come. Come on to me. You may even be at the threshold. You've heard the word of God. You know, you feel it. I should step out for Jesus. You want to do it, but there's something blocking you. Well, look at this. Verse 27. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, and he died. Died. Didn't get in through the gates. He died. Lost it. What about Judas Iscariot? Imagine a man throwing his arms round the door of heaven and kissing him. Kissing the door of heaven and going to hell. It's possible. It happened to Judas Iscariot. Here's a man, and he's ready to step into safety. But a voice called him back quietly. Verse 34, and the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, thy feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Hands not bound, feet not in fetters, able to step out through the gates. But he turned back. Does that not remind you of a man, an angel from heaven? An angel. Angels. Do you see the angels coming? Taking him by the hand and saying, escape for your life, Lot. This place is going up in smoke. And do you see Lot just taking his time? See Lot's wife there with a heart for Sodom. See her not getting time to prepare everything to flee. No, flee, the Bible says. Flee from wrath to come. And do you see that wee family? See the two girls, father and mother, and angels taking them, dragging them out of Lot. Run! And then see Lot's wife turning back. She looks back and becomes a pillar of salt. The Bible is filled with people who looked back and lost out with God. Father tonight, Mother tonight, invited into the meeting, will you look forward to Jesus? Right into his arms. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you can get saved tonight and know it. Do we say it will be easy? No. Life might even get more difficult for you as a Christian. Your enemy will now become the devil. You will know that there's a devil. You will know that you're a target now. You will know, that there is a devil resisting and blocking and barring me going forward. But what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Come to Christ tonight. Thank you for your prayers. The brothers and sisters, when we get over there again, we'll be thinking about you, praying for you here in Korean, and you pray for us out there, and you pray that the rain will stop, okay? And we have freedom to move about the area and liberty to preach the gospel to the Filipinos. Thank you very much. Amen.
I know he has to rush off for another meeting in Randallstown. Maybe you're thinking tonight, when you look at the time, if he hadn't been rushing to another meeting, we'd have been here at 10 o'clock. But anyway, thank Noel for bringing the challenge of God's word to us. We're just going to bow together in a wee word of prayer, please, and we'll give thanks for the food. And we'd like you to stay this evening for a cup of tea and a sandwich and a wee time of Father. We thank